Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it not to the next level, to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. As has been said, if you keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings, you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You may or you may not agree with things that are said, and that's perfectly okay. Everybody's entitled to their own beliefs, and there will be no arguments here. However, if you keep that open mind, you will see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. And if you nudge yourself, if something strikes a chord within you and resonates and you don't know why that is and yet it's not part of your belief system, meditate upon that and just see what happens. So tonight, my special guest, return guest, is Carlo Ami. His work is in creating tools to help people awaken themselves, empower themselves, own and practice their own truth rather than what other people or their perceived gods tell them their truth ought to be. Now, he's got a wonderfully inexpensive program. It's a bargain, and he's offering a special rate on his package for those of you who call this month. So that means if you are listening live today, or you listen on the podcast before the end of July, you contact him and we'll have him give his website. Now, the program is a non-dogmatic approach designed to assist clients in finding and practicing their own truth and power. Clients take a simple core idea and play with it for 3 days, editing it as little or as often as they like, based upon the truth of their heart. Isn't that nice? Now, that speaks to the fact that what works for one isn't necessarily going to work for another. So you can give it your own personal spin, I gather, but we'll ask Carlo about it. This is done 19 times over a 10-week period. Key elements in the program, here we go. 3, humor, best medicine, silence, and repetition. The program also includes a private social group for those moving through it at the same time. So, Carlo, once again, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great, David. Thanks for having me on.
It's my pleasure. Now, question. Let's see. Did you make note or hear the question I asked? Because it's already slipped my mind.
I guess you were going to ask me more about the way that the approach of the program is.
Well, you know what? Let's do this. I know what it was. Based upon the truth of their heart, would you explain that? What you mean by that?
Well, it's learning to trust our own feelings, and you know, the language of the heart is feelings. Sometimes people might experience it as words. But generally, it's how we feel in a given situation or with a given thought. So, you know, what I ask people to do, is take a simple idea, say it, and then close your eyes and hush up your mind, turn the chatterbox off, and notice how you feel. And that can be your guide as to how to proceed. If you feel much lighter after saying a potentially inspiring thought, if you feel lighter and feel the least happening, then that might be a little juice for you to experiment with doing that in your life and in your connections with other people and with yourself and the thoughts that you think.
Wonderful. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we just back up and have you describe in more detail what your program is like, and was I correct in what I said about the promotion on the package for July? Which, by the way, folks, you know, we're not here to sell you a bill of goods. We're here to empower you, and I only have guests on who are not con people. I shouldn't even mention that word, but let's face it, there's some light workers in this world who still have a lot of shadow work to do. Carlo is not that man. He is committed to helping his fellow man and woman, human beings, spiritual beings, having a human experience, grow so that ultimately we may all be brought to world peace. Is that correct?
Yes, and I guess I'd like to express that maybe in a little different way. I'm not really here to convince anyone of anything.
Right.
I'm not looking to sell something, even though there's something to invest in. I'm not looking to sell anything to anybody. I'm looking for people who resonate with the basic ideas that I offer on the website. If you like those ideas, then why not take a week and play with this and see in the first week if it works for you. If you like it, you're going to either love it or hate it, most likely. There's not going to be a lot of mushy ground. But I do offer the first week, and if people don't like it, anytime in that first week, they let me know, and they get the money back in full. So I'm not looking to have people in the program that aren't able to flow with it. And this is for the people that are courageous enough to really play with something new.
Well, I trust that at the end of this hour, whether or not people are listening live or otherwise, they will have a sense that this could be a very beneficial thing for them. And in the meantime, they're going to learn out a lot of empowering things throughout the hour from you that they can make note of and take into their meditations, whether or not they choose to participate in your program. Because I liked what you said. It's an investment in self. It's not about promotion. Carlo is a deeply spiritual man who I've known for almost a year. And we've had some communications outside of the radio studio. And I can tell you, based on what I have uncovered in our conversations, is that he is a true light worker. And by that, I mean he is somebody who has chosen to stand in his own truth, walk in the light, and let the negativity go, focusing on that which is positive, self-affirming, uplifting, motivating, generating serenity, joy, and all things good, because ultimately life is all good. Wouldn't you agree, Carlo?
Indeed, and to kind of add on to what you just said, life can be about being more confident, and I know confidence is a challenge for a lot of folks. For a lot of my life, it was early on, too. And to me, it comes down to creating a different definition for confidence than we tend to play with. The basic idea of confidence for a lot of people is knowing they're going to get what they want.
Right.
And the way that I suggest people look at that is, true confidence may just be knowing that whatever happens in your life, you're going to flow within your power regardless of anything that occurs to you. To me, that's true confidence.
Well, that resonates for me. The thing is, you well know, there are many wounded adult children out here that are carrying battle scars from childhood that tend to be reactive instead of taking action, that tend and don't even know that they're still playing victims, therefore robbing themselves of their power. What would you have to say to people in this position, whether or not they recognize at this moment in time that they're one of those not unfortunate souls, but that they have a blind spot to what may be blocking them from moving in a positive direction within their lives?
And a lot of that can be about the yin and yang going back and forth, as so much of the world is doing now, between being in the mode of judge and being in the mode of victim.
Yes.
We tend to kind of go back and forth between those two.
Yeah, two different things, right?
Pardon me?
Two different things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which ultimately can spell out disaster.
Yeah. And part of the
personal level, sorry.
Moving beyond that is learning how to trust ourselves.
Yes.
It's about choosing to trust the inner guide rather than what the head would suggest that you do. We tend to be a world now that's really drowning ourselves in words, and we really don't know the beauty and the fullness and the power that comes in emptying the mind and letting the heart express.
Well, what I like, Carlo, is that you are a deeply spiritual man, but you say this is not a spiritual program. And so that will open up to people who do not see themselves as spiritual individuals, who may identify as atheists or agnostics. And so it is a welcome one and all program. You don't need to believe in a thing. You don't need to
right.
be religious. You don't need to even be spiritual, although that could benefit you, wouldn't you say?
Well, yes, and I think at some point we get to understand that, you know, spirituality and religion are really two different things.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, spirituality is about discovering, you know, the inner essence, and religion tends to be defined by how some god would define that for you or some religious text. So I don't say that my program is non-spiritual, because it's the deep essence of it is spiritual, and when you have the spiritual dimension covered, when you have that figured out, then that basically takes care of the rest of them in one big umbrella.
My misunderstanding, Carlos. Well, at any rate, why don't we just jump right into it? And why don't you give the readers in a nutshell what your program is about? And then let's actually talk about what people can do to discover their own personal power and how they can learn how to heal this planet.
Sure.
Okay.
I guess one of the central cores of the perspectives that I offer for people to play with is the idea that, you know, we've been a society that's conditioned to think that we have to fight for what we want, to resist what we don't want. And that's the essence of maintaining the battle. Basically, the way that I look at it is that everything that's happening in the apparently exterior world or external world is simply a reflection of what's going on inside of us collectively.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, all our institutions, virtually all of them, the biggest ones, do the exact opposite of what they tell us they're going to do. Or they're
going to do. Churches too, right?
Well, the healthcare system basically wants us sicker and taking advantage more of their services, buying more of their stuff. Their hospital stays and their drugs. Religion really sucks the lifeblood out of people spiritually. I know that's going to be a challenge for some to think, but for me, you know, religion does the exact opposite of building one up spiritually. It divides us and instills fears. And, you know, it's a lot about guilt and shame and not enoughness.
I totally agree.
You know, some people sometimes get fed up with it, and that's the lesson of ego as well as the lesson of all our institutions. And basically the lesson is, you know, rather than fight for what you want or resist what you don't want, you know, simply disengage your attention and support other than love from whatever it is, the thought, the person, the institution, the group, anything that is sucking your energy, you don't fight it, and you simply disengage from it. It's like the Christian tradition of resisting temptation. Well, that was a big thing that was so said to be so important when I was growing up with the parochial education was, you know, you have to resist temptation. Well, the more you're resisting something, the more you're thinking about it, the more
you're attracting it to you.
Yeah, exactly.
And
the more
what
you think
just
about
said.
It, yeah.
What you just said, pardon the interruption, Wouldn't that be what Jesus meant when he said turn the other cheek, when you talk about detaching and surrendering?
I used that analogy in a blog post about a year ago. Yes, and I'm right with you on that. Turn the other cheek seemed to be saying, yeah, present your other cheek to be slapped.
Right.
And
right.
You know, what's the point of that? And it's called self-abuse.
Yes, it is. Yeah,
so,
right.
Yeah.
So many churches have put that message forward. People quite often, for whatever reason, take things literally. And there are so many gorgeous metaphors and parables in the Bible. And unfortunately, some people don't accept them as that, and that's their prerogative.
Right. It's not really about, and to me this adds so much juice to the equation in my experience, and that is, you know, as soon as you sense a resistance, if you're bringing up an idea that has to do with consciousness and how we might treat each other more kindly or whatever, or even gently letting somebody know that their behavior isn't working for you, if you get for just a second, they're not all interested in hearing what you have to say, and then you back off. You don't need
right.
To
oh, yes. Okay.
You're right,
yeah.
They're wrong. It just
yeah, right, right, because otherwise your ego becomes invoked and you're reacting instead of acting and instead
yeah.
of listening to the still voice within, and you are judging them.
And you're building their resistance. So you're basically, you know, you're not doing anything to elevate collective consciousness. And every thought that we have and every response that we have to life figures into the total equation or frequency of humanity. And when that reaches a certain point, we'll be awakened.
Right. Well, please continue telling us about your program. And before we go one step farther, would you please tell people what your website is or what ways people can contact you? So people, be prepared. Get out your pens and pieces of paper. We're going to pause a minute. And Carla, why don't you go on, and then we will give out your website. You can give that out whenever you want to segue to it.
Sure. The program itself is broken into basically three segments. Basically, the first segment is about basically the foundations of power. The things that society tells us will not build our power are the things that do. So we spend the first five of the idea sets on building our power to trust ourselves. Trust inner guidance, and basically that involves experimenting with things and not taking a whole lot of ideas into the 3 days that you spend with each core idea. And the whole idea is to not go into overwhelm or avoidance by throwing too many ideas at one time into the mix, because
goes
nuts and says, wait a minute, too much, I'm going to drop this thing, or I'm going to find a drug, or I'll find some sex, or whatever, and I'm going to distract myself.
Right.
That's the pattern that many are looped in at the moment.
Right. I hear you. I wanted to also suggest that people turn to seeming addictions as a way to soothe themselves. And it may have worked for them in the past, but it becomes dysfunctional. And whether or not they realize it, it's disconnecting them from their spirit, from the power within.
Absolutely a huge challenge, and you know, it's been spoken of on talk shows for a long time as well. The idea is simply that, you know, addictions tend to be a sign that one is a well advanced spiritual being.
Yeah,
it's the people that have the addictions that tend to be the ones that are very close to being fully awakened beings.
Yeah,
and it's simply a matter of moving beyond the addiction in order to build the power.
Well, thank you for that. Now, I'll just put it out there. I'm not going to dwell on it, but I've recovered from more addictions than you count on all your fingers. And the granddaddy of mine was sex. Then there was alcohol. There were drugs. There was compulsive religion. There was compulsive exercise. There was overeating. There was sugar. There still is nicotine. That's the last great divide. So I just wanted to put that forward in case anybody can relate to any of those behaviors that they may not see as addictions, like compulsive shopping is another way to medicate. Workaholism.
And it's a way to block, and it's also a way to block the trusting self. Because
right.
it's really impossible to trust yourself when you know you're doing something to yourself that isn't harming, that is harming you in the name of short-term satisfaction.
Right, right. Okay, well, please continue.
Sure. The next set is basically a set of integrations, basically the ways to integrate the ideas that you intend to have in your life to empower yourself. So we go from the power building to the releases to the integrations. And the whole idea is to basically take the short idea set, which generally runs, you know, 5 to 7 pages, some are longer. And there's a lot of graphics in all of them, so it's not a lot of reading. And you basically take that and you edit it to fit you. If there's an idea that really jumps out at you, you make the font bigger. If there's an idea that's like, well, you know, been there, got that, really don't need to read that one again, you delete it or make the font smaller or whatever you want to do. But the ending document for each of the idea sets is something that you can play with in a very short form when you get up in the morning and when you go to sleep at night, before you go to sleep, to take a look at this and take those ideas into your sleep with you. It's a way of evolving yourself. It's a tool for reconditioning, you know, who we are, based upon you know, what our knowings are about our own truth, and our willingness to trust those knowings and live in a congruent way with them. So there's the other aspect of the program that I'll mention is that there's a private social network that's just for people going through the program at the same time. And I'm offering for about half of what it will be in September. So the whole thing now that the program is ready to introduce, and I've been working on it for 17 years. I've been evolving this. And it's now finally ready to introduce, and the big thing for me now is to get people into the program.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's something that I'm going to grow in a grassroots way, David. We're going to offer people roughly half the program price as a commission for referring new participants. So this is not about me making money. It's about finding ways to basically spread a movement, and the movement is trust yourself.
Well, now what can be more important than that? Because until you have that self-trust, there is going to be inner turbulence, negative feelings that are going to take you down.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be interpersonal conflict, loss of power, that victim mentality, etc. And ultimately, we will continue in a world where that goes on at a collective level until we raise the consciousness of enough spiritual beings having a human experience to actually achieve world peace. Now, how's that going to happen, Carlo?
Well, you know, some people want to make that complicated, and certainly the egoic mind would want to make it complicated, because when we get our fully loving consciousness, the ego is dead. And it's really dead already, but it only seems to live as we feed it with really foolish thoughts that are destructive. So we're here to realize that we're all interconnected in a way the mind will never understand. In fact, it refuses to understand.
Right.
So the paradox is we're all wired differently. We all have our different things, our little eccentricities, our likes, our dislikes, our pet peeves, all these things. And we also are interconnected. And one being, in a way, the mind will not understand. The mind is meant to be released in that area. Just boom. We don't need that kind of thinking. In fact, we don't need anything. That's part of the problem.
Right.
It's all about
and
getting out of need.
Yeah, some spiritual people may rightly maintain that we are all one with Source, that we are all unique reflections of Source, that we are all contributing not only to our own growth, but to the growth of Source, to the growth of the universes, if you will. I mean, it's amazing between what happens spiritually, what happens metaphysically, what happens, how it affects our physical reality. And so that's just a side comment. Now, when I talked to you before, you gave me an astounding number of people, that all it would take is so many people to raise the consciousness of all so that we could have peace. Now, what number did you give me? I forget.
Yeah, it's the equivalent to the square root of 1% of the population. And it was proved 30, 40 years ago, maybe with the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi studies that were done. He went into a small communities in the United States, and I believe in the UK as well. And he took the equivalent of the square root of 1% of the population, and they just meditated and sent out loving thoughts for an hour a day. And during the time that they did that, the crime rate in those communities went substantially down. And when they stopped doing it, it went back up again. So
okay, well, let's go ahead.
Can I extrapolate that? My extrapolation of that is simply that when 9,000 people, approximately, and that's the square root of 1% of the population of our world, when 1% are fully awakened beings, that we will be at the dawn of our era, what I call our era of harmony, you know, peace in the world, in which, you know, there's no more concern for locks. We respect and love each other as we are. We are with the people we intend to be with, and we're not with those that we don't want to be around. And it's not a whole lot simpler. It's not a whole lot more difficult than that, David.
All right,
9,000 people.
Let me ask you a question. Are you familiar with the Johari window, spelled J-O-H-A-R-I?
I looked at it some time ago, but I don't remember much of anything about it, my friend.
Well, there are four boxes within it, and all I can say is that we all have our blind spots that other people can see, and conversely, they have their own blind spots. So
right.
Ultimately, we need to be connected to one another and tell it like it is in a gentle way so that people can receive the message instead of invoking their egos and becoming defensive. That is how we can wake up, folks. We need one another. We need one another. We need to stick with positive people, places, and things that fill up our spirit. And if something doesn't feel quote-unquote good, don't do it. Stay away from it. If it feels good, let that be an indicator that you're moving in the right direction. What do you think about that?
I like it a lot. You know, for me, there's only one word in there that you use that I have a challenge with myself, and that's not a judgment of you, David. It's just a different way of wiring.
That's all right, okay? And I may need to be corrected because it may be an error spot.
And that's the challenge word in the way that I like to use words, and I choose my words very carefully, especially in the program. Each word's important because.
Yes.
I intended to be received as beautifully as possible. So the whole challenge word for me is need.
What did I use, Carla?
Just with that whole idea. Pardon me?
Okay. And what did I use that didn't resonate for you?
Just in the last couple of minutes, you've used the word several times in terms of maybe I need this or maybe I need that. So the whole thing with need for me is that when we're affirming a need, we're basically rejecting the present moment as being beautiful to be with.
Yeah.
And we're basically telling the universe that we're someone who needs. So the universe sends us more needs. More things that we feel we need that we don't have, which pulls us out of the present.
That makes life more complicated. Sorry for the interruption.
No, it's good. It's about learning how to trust your guidance, about putting out an intention and then totally let go of a result or the need to visualize it, which to me, many people tend to use the whole idea of visualization in a destructive way. You know, they're not going to be okay until they get this, and they have to have it in order to be all
right. Right. That's an attachment. That's an attachment to an outer condition to try to make themselves feel good, and that is something like an addiction. A big attachment, the biggest one that I didn't mention is codependency. Where we rely on another person to meet all our perceived needs, neediness.
Right.
Once again, that blocks us from discovering our own personal power or our connection to source.
And it's tied in with the whole idea of enabling as well, because if we're continuing to be around people that continue to have the same problems and continue to want to run to us to help them fix them, the problems all the time, then we're basically blocking that person from their path of getting fed up with the situation they're in enough to try a different way of responding to it, as
right.
opposed to going to that same old person that's always there for them. You know, that's the big thing. And
well,
so,
we need to allow them the dignity of owning their own journey and not proselytizing to them.
Yeah. It reminds me of a story I'd love to tell your listeners if you'd like. It
Absolutely.
Happened a few weeks ago. You know, I was in Los Angeles for the Moksha Festival there at the convention center. And this woman came up to me. We started talking about a challenge she was having. She just kind of spilled it that, you know, she was really bothered that her boyfriend and some other people thought her to be gullible. And, you know, we talked about different ways of responding to it, and you know, she had not told her boyfriend about her concerns or anybody else. But I said, you know, is it something that's okay with you if people think of you that way on an ongoing basis? And she said, well, no. And I said, well, you know, if you can be lovingly direct with a reasonable volume and tone in expressing to your boyfriend the challenge you're having, you will definitely know by his response as to whether or not he thinks you're gullible or not, or if he thinks you're gullible and isn't broadcasting it to the world or you all the time that that's some kind of deficiency, you know, maybe that's something you can deal with too, because I don't mind being somebody that people can pull the wool over my eyes. They can do it sometimes. And
oh, yeah. Well, that's because you haven't seen a certain aspect of the truth of your being that for whatever reason you weren't meant to be at that time, because everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, and it's not something I would look at as a deficiency.
No. I didn't mean to imply that. No.
I know, I get it. But for me, it's simply, you know, being with what is and choosing if somebody is going to treat you poorly, then it's your cue to disengage. And if the other
right.
person doesn't get the message about why the disengagement is happening, then you get direct with them about the fact that, you know, this isn't working for me. And you're not doing it in a way, you know, that is going to be detrimental to you. You know, some people are afraid to confront the people
yeah.
they're because they don't want to be rejected, or they don't want people to tell stories about them. So their whole life is lived based upon, you know, what somebody else thinks they ought to do, or somebody else thinks that they ought to be treating each other. It's kind of silly that we tend to be living our lives based upon the expectations of other people or a God, as opposed to what the heart would direct us to do if we hushed up and listened to it.
Well, I have a couple of comments to make, getting back to that disengagement process. Again, this is not a judgment. It starts with where you're at. And if something doesn't feel good, that's a sign to turn away or turn the other cheek, if you will. The fear factor is so big for so many of us that we don't even see how it exists at a microscopic level in our lives. We live in a state of fear sometimes, and that's part of our journey to recover the truth. Now, there are two acronyms for fear that I'd like to put out there that are very powerful. One I learned in 12-step programs, and that's face everything and recover. Another I learned at a church that fed my soul for a while, and that is false evidence appearing real. So,
yeah.
Carla, back to you.
Well, you know, it's fear and doubt and lack of self-trust that tend to be the apparent obstacles between us and a better life. And most people have never really been taught how to trust their inner guidance. It's been, the training has been the opposite of what works. The training is, you know, I need another seminar. I need to read another New Age bestseller, right? I need to basically...
Another guru, right?
Kind of,
Yeah, I've got to find that secret code. You know, everybody's got these secret codes out last few years, and I'd love to hear one. A testimony that any of that's not just a bunch of imagination. Okay, so yeah. We look for everything outside of us, but we don't hush up the head enough to tune into our own inner guidance until we get fed up. And really, life and all the lifetimes that lead up to awakening are mostly about opportunities to get fed up with what's not working. So the way that I like to express that is, you know, whatever sucks your energy is something that's offering you the opportunity to disengage from it. All attention and support other than love. So if it's deceptive, disrespective, or manipulative, it's your cue to disengage from the situation, or at least be lovingly clear with the person that's expressing that to you. That it's not working for you.
That takes a lot of insight and a lot of practice. I lost the question that seemed quite pertinent, and that's okay. If it's meant to be, it will be. It will be.
That happens to me all the time, David.
Well, I hate to talk over people, but it seemed profound at that moment, and now I have to let it go, and it will come back to me if it's meant to. Okay, please.
One idea that I wanted to throw into the mix that challenges some people is the idea that the so-called bad guys, you know, the 0.1% that seems to control the financial goings on and the way that our institutions are treating us, how do I want to express this? Basically, the idea is, you know, love the so-called bad guys, but otherwise you withdraw all your attention and support from them. So it comes down to not supporting that which is abusing you.
Well, let me jump in here, because a lot of people tend to think, oh, I'm going to help this poor person, judgment, and enable them. And so I would ask people to take a cue from their response from somebody else's neediness. Do they really want to be helped? You're not helping somebody if you force feed somebody your agenda, which they're not receptive to. You actually can halt their progress.
Sure. Absolutely.
And for some reason, that's part of the mystery, which when you live in the light, you will receive epiphanies, you will receive insights that will keep you on the path so that you don't do those things.
Yeah, it's basically, again, about learning how to trust ourselves and practicing that. Practicing is the key element.
Well, God helps those who help themselves. So, in other words, what I'm saying is, be discerning and pray for discernment, or reflect on it, whatever it takes to manifest that. Affirm that you're a discerning individual at this moment in time and proclaim it so that it will serve the highest good for all. That's just a suggestion. But
sure.
When you are discerning, you will know if that person truly wants help. And a good way to start is to say, how can I help you? And if it makes you feel icky, or if you feel that person's neediness, perhaps that's a signal to back off. But if they say, oh, yes, I want help, I want to get better, I want to get rid of this addiction, blah, 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 well, then there's an open door.
And ego wants to debate it with more words. Should I help this person or shouldn't I? Doing this drug or whatever it is, you know, or not. And the head wants to feed in justifications. It wants to feed in reasons to do it. It's like a little angel on one shoulder and a little devil on the other.
Hey, question. Question.
Sure.
For people that are of the belief that there is a devil, which we know is a lie, there's devilish behavior. There's evil behavior. But all is good when you focus on it. And it depends on what you focus on. If you focus and dwell on the negative and what is appearing evil, you attract more of that. That's the law of attraction. What do you have to say about that?
I agree, and at the same time, if we're focusing on wanting something as opposed to being something, then we're basically acting self-destructively.
What you said
just brought up something when you know talking about what's good and what's bad. There's a story that is told of a teacher, and the student asked the teacher, you know, is humanity good or is it bad? And the master said, well, you know, it's neither, it's asleep.
I didn't mean to imply that there's good or bad. There is no good or bad. There is no right or wrong. That you may want to argue with me. I won't argue with you if you insist on that. I'll say so be it. However, it's not that I know better. It's just that I've seen the light for myself, that is part of the duality in which we live. And when I focus on that, I'm casting another judgment.
Yes, and I guess to clarify, from my part at least, I have no need or interest in any kind in arguing with anyone.
Right.
There's no point in it. The whole idea is, you know, sow your seeds and share where it's well received or accepted, and move away from situations in which there's something that you are intending to be of service with, or at least congenial with, that's not taken in the way that you intended it, and you get that it's not really going to turn around with this situation you're in, then the loving response is, I love you, goodbye.
Yes, and sometimes it's best not to even say that, but to bless them with love at a spiritual level and get the hell out of there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, please continue talking about your program, but I'm glad that you've been open to dialogue, because you and I are fairly simpatico, I think, I believe. However, you know, as you say, language is so important, and sometimes I need to be corrected, and I'm open to that because I have an open mind. Generally speaking, I'm human. Thank God. I love it. So please... Yeah.
The whole point of the edits in the program that I ask people to make with the idea sets, which, you know, the ego is going to say, wow, that sounds like a royal thorn. I don't want to do that. I've never done that before. I have to edit this thing he's sending me. You know, so the ego is going to put up all kinds of defense shields around it. But the bottom line is, you know, we're all wired in different ways. We're different kind of words. Fit better for us, and different ways of expressing our truth feels better for us than another. That's why when there's a juicy statement that really kind of hits it for you, and you get that by using it a little differently with words that are more powerful for you, then that's the way to put it down on paper and maybe remind yourself of it a few times a day. And this is how we move through the program, is basically discovering, you know, our own inner truth and power and how we see it, as opposed to taking what somebody else sees as dogma or the truth, because there's all kinds of different ways to express what might be called truth.
I have a comment.
We find out what our own is, given our own wiring and our own sensitivities and our own gifts. So, you know, we all have different ways of being. So, like, my challenge is, it tends to be attention. I have so many things going on in my head that I get distracted. I forget things. It's like, where the heck are my keys?
Hey, sing the Simon and Garfunkel song. Slow down, you move too fast. You've got to make the morning last. Right?
Well,
I have a comment before you go on. I don't want to lose it. The comment is that, first of all, it serves one best to keep things simple. We can complicate the bejesus out of anything. And spiritual law tends to run counter to the law of men. And guess what? I forgot my comment. I'm going to jump in on you the next time. Go ahead.
Okay, no problem. What I'm saying is that the people can jump.
On my mind.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I don't have it yet.
Okay. people can judge me as being deficient or not smart or not good enough because I have this challenge with forgetting things or not remembering things that I intended to do. So, you know, if they're going to make a big thing out of making that an issue rather than flowing with it, or if I were to make an issue about some kind of a quirk that they had that I thought was a little weird but wasn't hurting anybody, you know, that would be an opportunities to disengage from a situation, or make it clear that, you know, the sarcasm, it doesn't really work for me, or, you know, you're calling me gullible all the time for that woman, you know, that for her to be able to say, you know, it's not working for me. You know, is this something that you feel a necessity to talk about, or is this something we can kind of let go? Because if it's really important to you to bring up the fact that I'm gullible all the time, then, you know, it's not something I particularly have a need or interest to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about basically being lovingly direct. It's not what I call confrontation, which sounds like, you know, let's fight. It's about here's something that just happened that flowed from your lips that's not really working for me, and let's talk about this. I'm not angry, but, you know, I'm not really interested in continuing the conversation if we're going to be, you know, having to talk like this.
Well, as you said,
fear
blocks us from confrontation. Not to say that confrontation is good. Sometimes we need to tell it like it is. However, it is better to turn the other cheek, disengage, talk it out with another person, then come back to the presenting seeming problem and say, I feel this way about that. And when you said this or that, be specific. This is how it made me feel. You know, we need to seek to find middle ground constantly, because misunderstandings happen, because language is imperfect. And until we can read each other's minds, we have to deal with what we've got.
It's true, and depending on who you're dealing with, when there's a challenging situation, some people just don't want to hear it. They want to turn it into an argument. When you basically say, you know, that really didn't work for me, and you know, your tone of voice is kind, and you're not in a high volume mode, and you're just expressing your truth in a loving way. If they want to turn it into an argument, or they want to minimize your feelings, then that's your cue to lovingly say goodbye, as opposed to throw more fuel on the fire by engaging in debate. Because it's not about
debate.
All right. It's about
what I was going to say before. I will. I'm just going to throw out a suggestion that my piano teacher used to say to me, and that is practice makes perfect. And that has to do with the repetition that you have in your program, and then something you just said about tone. She also told me it's the tone that makes the music. If your tone isn't pleasing to somebody, they're not going to hear the words you're uttering.
Yeah. How does it feel when you scream in a loving voice, I love you?
Yeah, right. Right. And obviously, you don't really love them at that moment in time if you're screaming. I mean, that's not to say that there isn't perfect love. However, that's not a demonstration of it. And I'd like to ask you a pointed question.
Sure.
I have been told in 12-step programs it's all about progress, not perfection. Now, that may be helpful to somebody who's coming out of addiction. However, I believe that's a limiting statement. What do you think?
Well, there's so many good things that are in AA. The challenge that I have with it is that once they get beyond the first few months, it's not about being free. It's all about keep coming back. It's all about coming to meetings. And
right.
You can get your 25-year pin, but you have to introduce yourself as, you know, hi, my name's Bob, and I'm an alcoholic. Well,
what's that,
you know,
about?
Maybe I'm beyond alcoholics. Why would I want to affirm that I'm still stuck in it? And to me,
and I'll share this. I was an alcoholic, or let's say that I had alcoholic behaviors, drank a case of beer a day and sometimes a bottle, up until 27 years ago when I had an epiphany that this was my problem. I stopped drinking. And 16 years later, after not having touched a drop, I had a commitment ceremony with my husband, and he knew I had this background, but he said, how about a glass of champagne? I said, I can't. I'm an alcoholic. He says, what do you mean you're an alcoholic? You haven't had a drink in 16 years. How do you know? Is one glass of champagne going to make you an alcoholic? And I thought to myself, no. So I had it. and it made me feel good. But I realized that was good enough. I didn't want to be drunk. I don't like feeling drunk, so I can drink safely today. And I usually turn down alcohol and prefer coffee or root beer or lemonade or what have you. The point is that you can completely heal from any disease. I have recovered from heart disease, COPD, and emphysema. All right. I had all of those conditions. They're all gone. All I needed to do was to be aware of the condition, and faith took care of the rest.
Yeah. It's about trusting yourself and trusting spirit and not being in fear of relapse or fear of anything else that's outside of yourself as anything that could deter you from your power.
Right. Let's put forward the ways people can contact you now. Folks, get those pens handy.
Sure. The website is simpleawakeningtools.com. And maybe the best way to start it is to, you know, go into the intro video and then the next steps where there's a primer. And the primer, you'll know in 2 or 3 minutes from the primer as to whether this kind of work is something that you might want to take a closer look at. Because this is not like, you know, anything else that I'm aware of out there that is more about tuning into your power as opposed to laying some kind of a dogmatic trip on you or putting a bunch of words into a book the book isn't going to shift you. Basically, you get to shift by shifting how you respond to your life, the various experiences that you have. So there's a form that's on the bottom of the primer page. If you like what you see there and you want to talk about it before registering, you can call me. Just set up a time to visit on the phone or Skype, and you know, we'll talk. So I'm open to anyone that has any questions to talk with you personally. And
how do they reach you?
It's not going to be about a selling job. I don't sell people. In fact,
you certainly are not a salesperson. No way, no way. What is the phone number for them to reach you at?
You know, that's all on the website. I don't put that out online because
I don't blame you. You want to attract. You want to attract people who are searching for what you may have to offer. And
go ahead.
No, I'm just saying we don't need to attract curious people who may be abusive or judgmental or whatever. We don't need that. We need to protect ourselves. Yeah,
so, they can use the form that's at the bottom of the primer page to arrange a phone time with me, and we'll talk about it.
Great. I have to tell you something amusing. We've had as many as 6 callers in the queue, and they've all disappeared. I wonder why that is.
Oh, well.
But that's okay. We're having a riveting discussion, and as far as I'm concerned, if you have the time, let's go beyond the hour mark.
I'm happy. Whatever flows, David, I'm happy to talk some more.
All right, so you're open to doing that. What my goal with any program is to keep the dialogue stimulating because we do not want to bore anybody. Boredom is anathema to me, and I'm sure it is to most people. But if we have got the people riveted, why not keep going? So please continue with whatever you might want to say next.
Well, I guess the thing on the program is simply that it's something that I guess I'd like to share with your readers how I got onto this journey that I've been on for 17 years. I was in the middle of the California desert in 1998. And my life was not going well at all. I was depressed, and I was kind of angry at life. And I went out to this place in the middle of the California desert, and I had basically an epiphany of sorts in which I was, you know, felt guided to write my first book. And I got the key as to what the book was to be about. I was given the new pen name that I now use, except for legal purposes. And, the gist of what the book was to be about, and I got that I was to teach as well, but to be patient with the idea that people weren't going to be hearing much hearing me early on. And that's basically That's basically been a huge chunk of the last 17 years where very, very few people have tuned into my work. And now it's evolved to the point where it's ready to introduce in what I feel is a very good version that will continue to be refined as I find collaborators to tune it up. And the things that are going to be tuned up the most is that we're going to create different versions for different cultural groups, different sexual orientations, and different ages. So, you know, there's a vision behind this to touch as many as we can, and music in particular and visual beauty are two elements in the program. I use a lot of the natural photography that I've done as well as other natural photography that can be inspiring. And that's part of the program too.
Inspiration is what it's all about, and words alone can be boring. So that sounds wonderful.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a joy to do this and scour the best I could find in terms of inspirational story boxes as well as creating a lot of my own story boxes, pictures that have some words in them, maybe a quotation from a master or a particularly potent idea. And those are the ones that I love playing with those and making them as beautiful as I can.
Great. Well, anything else about the program you want to share? And then I'd like to talk about world peace.
Sure. In terms of the program, I guess if people want to play with it, the primer is the best place to spend some time. But there are also a number of articles on the blog, and you might screen the blog menu for titles, blog titles that inspire you. And in particular, there's a series of what I call minute epiphanies. That are very short, but tend to have an empowering message for many people.
Quick question.
Like to share with that.
Yeah, please do. But quick question: some people don't know what an epiphany is. Would you describe that?
Well, it's like an aha moment. It's like, oh, now I get it. Now I'm seeing more of the big picture in a more clear way. So it's a kind of a shocking and beautiful understanding or realization of sorts. And, you know, ultimately realization is what we're here for, here to realize, you know, the essence of who we are and to live it.
Well, epiphanies.
It's not more complicated than that.
Epiphanies can knock your socks off, folks, if they are truly earth-shattering. And it can change your reality. However, over time, what happens is they become insights that just gently ripple through you. And it's an aha moment, but it's not going to blow you away. So
Right. Hang
on to your seat. Put on your seat belts. It's not going to be a bumpy ride. It'll be tons of fun. Your journey will be tons of fun. If you do, I'm going to ask you to digress for a minute. For those that aren't ready for your program, can you keep it simple, if you would, give some basics for people to empower themselves and to maybe come to a point where they then would be ready to explore what your program has to offer?
Well, I guess maybe the number one idea would be to experiment in your thoughts and in your relationships with trusting inner guidance, not so much how the other person is going to respond, but what's your heart guiding you to do in a situation? And,
don't look
for an answer in words. Look for the answer to come in your feelings, and then let go of the need to debate within yourself.
Great. Well, you know, it's interesting. You said what your heart speaks to you, or however you put it. The title of my next book, which has been made into an award-winning screenplay, is Think With Your Heart.
I love it.
And you know, that was an epiphany for me, except I didn't know what it meant at the time. I was at rehab back in 1988 at a gay rehab, which was okay, but, you know, quite frankly, for me, I need to be in the mix. And I realize it's important for people to feel safe to be in groups that they resonate with. However, for me, Not so. It's too limiting. That's just my pet peeve. But a fellow wrote in my big book, that is the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, simply think with your heart. And I went, what's he mean by that? And so years later, I have borrowed that thought and entitled my book with that. And it's about my life story, about complete recovery, healing, if you will, from the disease myself that manifested in physical disease and seeming addiction. Because addiction is simply a symptom of a deeper distress. It's not about sex. It's not about alcohol. It's not about an LSD trip. It's about soothing yourself, medicating yourself, running away from your problems, and ultimately disconnecting from the very thing you're seeking, which is spirit, source, God, universe, goddess, whatever you call it. So that's my comment.
I will look forward to reading your book, David. Is that out now?
No. It's being edited by a best-selling author in Australia. It's based on a book that is out, but I would encourage people, unless they are really, really ready to start the journey, it's based on a book called Occam's Razor Revisited. Occam lived in about the 1400s. He believed in the principle of succinctness, and I maintain that in keeping it simple, you can achieve recovery from anything. And the subtitle of the book is a guide to complete recovery from whatever, you know. And but, you know, the new book will probably be out within the year. I've signed with a literary agent. A screenplay was done on it, and it's in the hands of an attorney who's engaged with producers who've sent several award-winning films or films to Sundance where they've won awards. So it's at the stage, pre-negotiation stage, so I'm very excited about it. And I've been told by psychics and angel readers that that something's going to happen in July, which may hopefully be getting a contract for the movie, and that something big's going to happen after my 61st birthday. Yes, folks, you may look at my picture and think I'm in my 40s. I'm 60. You're only as old as you feel, and you can grow younger, by the way. I lost the thread, but what I'll say on that note is it's possible to change the DNA both at a genetic level and at a karmic level. You can reverse the mitochondrial damage. You can do something like have a facelift, but that's temporary. What you need to do is keep your spirit alive, because when you lose your spirit through stress or whatever distresses you, that's when you move in the direction of physical death. Otherwise, you don't. And I had a doctor on the show who said it is entirely possible people will live for 1,000 years. So apparently what I thought was a lie about Methuselah is true. And granted, he lived in simpler times. There was not the stress of today. He probably knew how to take better care of his body, diet, naturopathy, herbs, whatever. And I posited the suggestion to him and others who confirmed what I believe to be true, and that is if you want to stay in the body, if you love your life, you could live forever, conceivably. And I don't want to die. I've had many lifetimes. I'm illuminated most of the time. However, I embrace my life today, and I tried to hang myself and take an overdose that should have killed a horse, but because my tolerance to substances was so high, it just turned me into a zombie. So there.
I get that, and we all have different realities and different ways of looking at things. So I'm not about to say that what you just expressed is bad or wrong, but from my perspective, for me, I have no fear of death because I realize.
No, I don't either. I have none. Go ahead.
You know, the spirit lives on in a different form, and it might be next time as a fish or a butterfly or a leaf on a tree. I don't know, and I don't need to know.
Well, I didn't mean to imply that spirit essence is not the ultimate, but I can choose to go to that place within my human life, too. I can experience whatever reality I want to when I let go of preconceived notions of limitation and fear. And I do.
I think it's fun to entertain ideas such as being able to live for hundreds of thousands of years. It's fun to entertain those. Where it gets mucked up is when we bring into the equation need or expectation.
Yes, I agree.
Because that's what sucks the energy out of it.
I agree. And quite frankly, the way I feel about my life is if God chooses to take me today, which would be what my soul chooses, I feel complete. Do I want to die today? No. I have an exciting life that has come from doing the healing, 30 years of work on myself, nearly. A big part of that has been giving it away to others because we're here to serve others. However, you can't give it away if you don't have it yourself. And if you don't take care of yourself first, you're not going to be able to truly be of benefit to another.
I agree with that totally. I look at it a little differently.
How?
When we say we're here to serve others, that's a truth. And at the same time, we're basically here to unfold ourselves.
Yes, I agree.
That be a priority.
I agree.
If we're too busy taking care of somebody else, oftentimes that's a way of avoiding ourselves.
Right, and that's codependency.
That's not spiritually juicy.
Right. No. I didn't mean to say that's the ultimate goal. Here are my priorities: God, taking care of myself. That's my number one goal of recovery, if you will. Then friends, family, loved ones, others in need who truly want help, and then finally my work. And I whistle while I work, and my work is my passion, and I have fun every step of the way. I had a client when I was a social worker who would always ask me, she was demented, which means that she was losing touch with physical reality and getting ready to move on. But she would always ask me, what do you do for fun? And I'd go, what? I wouldn't say it. I'd think it. What the hell are you talking about? I didn't have fun. I hadn't had fun since I'd been a kid or when I'd been on vacation. Now I realize I can have fun every step of the way. And I can get done what needs to get done at the end of the day and be moving forward in my both my personal and professional and spiritual life and preserving my physical and emotional well-being. And it just covers the gamut for me.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you can acknowledge the joy and the beauty in the life, and you can also forgive yourself for things that quite as well as might have given your response to life. So we get to forgive ourselves when we slip and recommit to living a more awakened response.
And likewise, to forgive others and forget the shit. Before we go on, I just want to put it forward, folks. You can find out about my upcoming shows at blogtalkradio.com/author David Clark with an E. I will tell you at the end of the program about some of the exciting shows that are coming up, including world-famous psychic medium Leo Bonomo and a special edition show Sunday, but I'm going to save that for later. Carlo, please continue.
We're kind of rambling on different areas and having to do with simplicity earlier, and it brought to mind something that Einstein said, and that is, if you can't explain it simply, you don't understand it well enough.
Yes,
I've used that as a kind of a guiding line for so much of my work is, how can I create this as simply as possible, because the fewest words that I can use are the ones that I would prefer that are going to get the message across.
I agree, and when I'm working with somebody, that's where I'm coming from. You're stimulating me, and I'm perhaps moving at a greater rate of speed. That's not to say that I'm any better or worse than anybody else. It's just because of the work I've done on myself, I'm able to keep it simple in my approach to life, but to explore multitudinous realities, which would blow some people's minds. So I needed to explain myself, but I wanted to take the opportunity to say, yes, keep it simple, sweethearts. That's an acronym for KISS. Remember that?
Yep, I remember that one, sure.
Yeah, well, in AA, it was keep it simple, stupid. I didn't like that. That's abusive.
I remember.
Yeah. I went to the anonymous programs myself.
Okay. Well, you know what I'm talking about then. What else would you like to talk about, program or otherwise? I'm here. I'm a queer. You know, I used to hate that word, but I laugh at it now because the young gay people are embracing that word and calling themselves by it. And it's okay. It's just a word. You know, it used to bother me because I was so homophobic. But so yeah. Here again, I digress. So please continue.
It kind of dovetails with how some black people use a derogatory term with each other.
Yes.
And yet, you know, if a white person used the same term with them, then it was like, you know, that's a cutting attack.
Well, I don't mind the word queer. I don't like the F word, faggot, because that refers to the bundles of sticks that were used to burn witches, homosexuals, heretics, quote unquote heretics, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, the first time. Pardon?
I didn't know that.
Yes. Well, the first time I was in London back in 1976, a stranger approached me and said, "Would you like a fag?" And I nearly croaked because I hadn't started acting out with men, but I was desperate to do so, and I hated that word so much, and I didn't know he was just offering me a cigarette. Yeah, so there. Again, words. Sometimes they have different meanings, and that's why we need to stop, and like you and I have been doing, and do a reality check and say, where are you really coming from? I don't quite get it.
Yeah, I get it. I understand.
Yeah, right.
One other thing I'd love to mention is it's something that's that I use a lot in the promotion and in the program itself. It's something that Martin Luther King said back in the 60s that really impacted me and that I love to share with people, and that is the idea that, you know, the great problem of society, is what he said back in the 1960s, is that people are really confused about love and power. Love without power was reckless and abusive, he said, and power without love is reckless and abusive, and love without power is sentimental and anemic. So one of the umbrella ideas for what I love to share is that, you know, if you really want to grow your power, it's important to understand what power is, and it's not the ability to manipulate other people or accumulate money or possessions. It's basically always based in love, as opposed to manipulation or abuse of anybody else.
Yeah. Well, anything else that you want to share? I mean, we could go on for hours, Carlo, and I want you to come back again in January. I'm having a problem with my computer. I can't type a single word right now except on Facebook. And I just got a communication from a fellow I sponsor who was talking about the sexual addiction group online, which is wonderful that, you know, there are other alternatives out there besides 12-step programs. So,
there are.
Yeah.
And you might be rebooting your computer, friend.
Will do. great suggestion. You know, I need help, as we all do. And, you know, I don't always think of the obvious because I don't always keep it simple. And that works against me, but it's part of my journey. What I was going to say is I want you back on the show in 6 months' time. And if you would take the onus of responsibility onto yourself to send me an email in a month or two, then I'll add you onto the schedule if that suits your purpose.
Great. I love it, David. I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show.
Well, I like stimulating guests, and they all are. However, I have to be discerning on what I feel might be most useful to people. And that's not to say that some are better than others. It's just that somehow it resonates more with what I'm hoping the messages will get out, what I'm hoping that my priorities are straight, that I've got my ducks lined up in a row, and I'm not trying to manipulate anybody, although it may seem that way. I used to be a salesman. But, you know, I basically had very low self-esteem, and I was selling things instead of working with where a person wanted to go and how to meet their needs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess one thing that's coming up from that, from what you just said for me, is the idea that when it comes down to making a decision about whether we're going to do a business deal or whether we're going to go after that potential partner or whatever it happens to be, you know, the heart always knows if we're not too busy with our head. So, you know, when there's a decision to be made, rather than inner debate, we have what I call an internal BS detector. And we have something that's also something that is a resonance detector, something that detects resonance with a given idea. And basically they speak in feelings. Basically the internal BS detector may be the same thing as the resonance detector, but the whole idea is that neither of them can really work very well if we're on heads. And
well,
that's the whole idea
of
going into silence.
I just had a thought. Absolutely. Silence is golden. I know I need to take time out from this busy world to go within, because that, in essence, is where the magic happens. That's where I still, that chatterbox of a brain that goes clickety-clack 1,000 miles an hour down the railroad track. I mean, that's a good way to derail yourself, metaphorically and otherwise. But once again, I lost my train of thought, and that's okay. What else would you like to say? And then maybe go ahead, and then maybe we can underscore the main points of your program, just to reiterate for people that may have come in late.
Yeah, we all have different wirings and ways of thinking and responding, and ways that work for us. And for some
right.
people, it's simply a matter of directing a question to the heart. You know, will it directly serve me to keep in the situation that I'm in, or is it best to leave? And the heart will know, and you can respond as opposed to inner debate.
Right.
It's all about practicing trust of self and knowing that that doesn't have to come in words. It's just feelings.
Well, that's why I call, backing up a few statements, that's why I call my program Different Strokes for Different Folks. We all come at it from a different angle, and none of us is absolutely right or absolutely wrong. You know, whatever floats your boat, folks, you know, as long as you don't spring a leak and sink like the Titanic, you know? So.
Yeah, and basically the idea that there's nothing about what you do or say that you have to justify anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, as long as you're coming from a place of integrity, then it serves you to not have a whole lot of concern for measuring your words based upon how that might be received, as long as you're intending to be respectful.
To thine own self be true.
Yeah.
That seemed like an apt comment to that statement.
Yeah.
So please continue. Yeah.
So well, we can do a little overview in terms of what the program's about. And again, I'm happy to talk with anybody that would like to talk with me about it. Just go to the primer page on the Next Steps menu in the page on the Simple Awakening Tools website, simpleawakeningtools.com. But I guess the key is that this is all about you discovering you, as opposed to you know, somebody laying some kind of a truth or dogma set on anyone. It's about basically inner exploration and learning and practicing how to trust your own guidance rather than what anything outside of you would suggest it should be.
Well, you know, that dogma thing is one of the reasons why religion doesn't work so well for me. It's filled with dogma, theology, politics, and downright lies. For example, the Council of Nicaea struck down Jesus' teachings on reincarnation and picked and chose books of the Bible that would seek to control people through fear that if they didn't get it right in this life, they'd go to hell. That is a lie. That's a lie.
Yeah.
Okay.
By the same token, I love the Gospels of Thomas and Judas.
Oh, I do too. Yeah. And the Gospel of Mary Magdalene and some others.
Yeah. There's some beautiful ones. Now, we have the internal mechanisms to help us recognize what is going to serve us to be around and what's not going to serve us to be around, what's going to serve us to read and what's going to serve us to let go of reading. And
right.
so much of the books out there that we see today, they could be beautifully and powerfully condensed into maybe 3 or 4 pages.
Yeah.
You can't charge $24.95 for 3 pages, so they throw a bunch of repetition. And sometimes, in fact, often lately, I'm noticing lots of downright contradiction. So that in many of the spiritual bestsellers, you're seeing...
Don't get me going, Carlo. I have written a book that is in progress called Awaken to Your Spirit. Each chapter takes Eckhart Tolle or Deepak Chopra a whole book to spin their weave, their web. And
right.
I also include spiritual exercises at the end of each chapter. That's going to be my...
I like that, yeah.
Going to be 2 projects from now, and that's the working title, Awaken to Your Spirit, which is going to be co-authored with my former colleague, radio show host, Beth Miller. So,
okay.
Once again,
that's
I digress.
Fun.
Yeah.
That's all good, man.
You're not kidding. You're not kidding. And that's an important thing for people to remember, and that laughter is so important. And I'm going to challenge you, Carlo, and challenge myself. The next time we talk, I would like us both to bring perhaps to lighten things up, have a couple of jokes that have to do with contradictions of the physical and spiritual reality. Are you up for the challenge?
Oh, I'm quite up for that challenge. Yeah, I'd love to.
Great. Okay. Well,
in laughter, you know,
you're gonna have
laughter brings us into the present moment more effectively.
You're going to have to remind me because I can't type an email to myself right now. But if I reboot the computer, the show's over. Is there anything else that you'd like to say? Closing.
I'm pretty clear. I guess I'd like to remind the readers again that I'm happy to talk with you by phone if you have any questions before you register. And the whole idea behind this is to be of service to as many as I can. Right now it's been amazing to me that so few people have been interested so far, because most people are, in my experience at least, what the universe is throwing at me. So many people, even the most heartfelt people that I've known, who tend to be at this point in time, in borderline or full, you know, chaos or depression or overwhelm. It's a challenging time for a lot of folks right now. The key is to basically learn how to trust inner guidance and let go of the false illusions that are so often outside of us, that are pretending to be something that we can be served by. So I guess that winds it up, David, and I'm so grateful for having the time to talk.
Oh, likewise. And I would like to include in our next discussion the topic of karma. In fact, Carlo, I would like to have you come on with another guest to discuss the subject of karma before January, and we can set a date for that too. And you're certainly welcome.
I'm definitely open to it. I would take the con version myself.
I don't care what you take. I think that it's good. I think that it is good to present pros and cons, and
okay.
to lift. You know, that's how we can discern for ourselves what's going to work for us. So I'm glad you said that. And you know what?
I'm open to discussing it, but I'm not interested in debating anybody.
No way. In fact, you know what? I don't need another person. I'll do it with you.
Okay.
Because folks, one of the things that I do, first of all, I have many spiritual gifts, and that makes me no better or worse than anybody else. I do spirit life coaching. If anybody's interested, you can go get your pen handy. You can go to my email address. My website is down, and I'm not going to go there. It is decoder, C-O-W-D-E-R, at T like Thomas, W like William, C like Charles, N like Nancy, Y like Yellow, at rr.com. I will put out there that I charge $100 per hour. However, I will go as low as $5, but I want you to give me a realistic assessment of what you can afford, because I'm not looking for somebody to pull a fast one on me. My time is worth more than $100 an hour, and some spirit life coaches charge more than that. But I will work with you. And the other thing is, I do past life regressions. I've been able to regress every single person I have ever encountered, and it's done at a very detached spiritual level. So if you had a trauma in another lifetime, you will not feel that trauma in your spirit state when you're observing the life. You'll be an observer. And so that's basically what I have to say about that. I will be doing my next show on that on 9/3, and I can do extended regressions for people for the same spiritual price, you know, $5 to $100 an hour. And that would be an hour or two, and we'll go back to all significant lifetimes. And essentially, the challenge is, if you have a fear or phobia, irrational fear in this life, perhaps it's time to take a look at where that came from, because it becomes embedded in your DNA at a karmic level, not to mention whatever genetic DNA you may have accumulated, because the so-called sins of the fathers are passed down to the sons. So let me take this opportunity to tell you about a few other shows. Leo Bonomo, as I said, British psychic medium, will be on this Sunday, July 26th at 7:30. All my shows are 7:30 Eastern U.S. time. In the evening, I have I have Mary Lou McIntyre on. She's a regular guest. She reads the Akashic Records. She's on August 7th. I have an angel chatter by the name of Chris Alexandria. Now, I'm putting out the shows that seem to be most popular. All of the shows are good, and most of my shows are dialogue shows like this. Okay, and let's see what else. I have a pet psychic on September 25th. And right now, the shows that are posted just go through July 26th. I will be adding the other shows because I'm booked solid through November. However, I do have an opening October 30th, so consider that, Carlo, for you and me.
Oh, great. I'll be in touch with you on a reminder, as you asked. And last idea that I'd love to share with your listeners, and that is something that came up from the discussion. Osho, who's offered a lot of really interesting and spiritual food for me over the years. Basically, he said that, you know, we awaken as we allow the mind to be the willing slave of the heart.
Love it. Love it. That's another way of turning it over or surrendering to a power greater than the mind. That's not to say that the mind isn't powerful, but use it for your ultimate best interest, and that is to discern what is real and not real to you, to take care of protecting yourself against danger. I mean, we needed an ego back in the day to survive, you know, wild animals, etc. And there are many other things, too. I'm not going to get into that now. But if you have anything to add to that, please feel free to jump in.
Well, I guess the eventuality for all of us in this lifetime or another is to learn and practice on an ongoing basis presence, to be lovingly with what is and to respond to all of life with love. And sometimes
Absolutely.
The most loving response we can have is to say goodbye.
Absolutely. And two more interesting totally opposite types of guests are coming up. Dr. Bernie Siegel, best-selling author of Love, Medicine, and Miracles, will return on 9/11. We will commemorate and have a meditation to commemorate the loss of the so-called victims of that seeming tragedy. And I actually have a porn star who's a producer of porn, who has a master's degree in clinical psychology, who will be on the program to talk about human sexuality, which is so confusing to people. And granted, I will rein him in. I've had some people say, you're having a porn star on? Well, as I say in the beginning, some people are going to have beliefs that are opposite of yours. And some people might be out there who like porn. you know, and they may discover that there's a better way to fill themselves up. So it will be an interesting dialogue. So I just wanted to put that out there. with that said, would you give your web address one more time, and then
sure,
we'll close.
Great. Thank you, David. It's simpleawakeningtools.com. Simpleawakeningtools.com.
Well, I'm honored to have you as a guest and to have returned to my show. We've attracted each other, obviously, and I would like you to be an ongoing guest on the show every 6 months. As long as I am doing this. And I'm going to get into television next. I've been told I'm going to be the next Oprah Winfrey, and I scoffed at that idea, but the sky's the limit, because when the movie comes out and my books come out and when they turn into bestsellers and people discover my radio show, the TV producers are going to come knocking. And it won't fill my ego anymore. It will serve as a platform for me to help other people, and that's why I'm in it, folks. But
Thank you for doing what you do, David.
Thank you. So once again, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing of separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who are having a spiritual experience. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.
You have been listening to Different Strokes for Different Folks. To find common ground and take it to the next level, here on Blog Talk Radio with David Clark, every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to this broadcast again on srbroadcasting.com.